Hello, Emily, and wie geht es Ihnen? Wie geht's?
Wie geht's Ihnen?
Ja. Und was hast du gemacht?
Was hast du gemacht?
Nein, was hast du gemacht?
Was hast du gemacht?
Are you just repeating what I'm saying?
Was hast du gemacht?
What did you do this week? Where did you go?
Kindy.
A new one?
A new one.
A new one. And was hast du gemacht in Kindy?
Spielt.
What did you play with?
Mit Autos.
With cars?
Yeah.
Did you sing songs?
Yeah.
What's one of them? Sing one now. Do you think we should start the show now? Mm-hmm. Can you say welcome to the two hosers?
And two hosers. Little hosen.
Hello and welcome to episode 162 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
It's good you piped in there. I had to take a breath in. For some reason, I didn't breathe in and just, poof, right at the end there, I had nothing left.
You're lucky you didn't pass out.
No, I'm good like that. I'm like Houdini. What is going on, Adam?
Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not in them.
I slept through them. Are the Olympics, like, I was wondering for Vancouver people, are the Olympics kind of like Expo 86? In that it was like the biggest deal of all time when we hosted. Never heard of a single expo after Expo 86.
Right. No, I don't think so. I think the Olympics are still a big deal.
They are a big deal.
Yeah.
But not as big a deal as they were 4 years ago for Vancouver people, I'm thinking.
No, yeah. When they're in your backyard, it's a little different. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that's going on. I'm super excited. I am an Olympics fanatic, so I can watch anything and everything under an Olympics banner. And I do get the fact that it is a giant business and money making machine, and I still love the sports.
Great. Yeah, I'll watch some stuff. I'm sure all they're going to show here is biathlon in Germany because it's unbelievably popular.
Really?
Oh. Biathlon, nonstop with the biathlon.
Okay, not my favorite.
No, but here it is like the equivalent of something really interesting. I don't know. I can't even come up with a good metaphor because I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Biathlon.
Mm-hmm.
Like my opinion is generally that they could tape one biathlon and then just show it every Saturday over and over, and no one would know. You'd never know. Like, oh no, he doesn't ski like that. So, I'm sure they'll show all that. I don't know. I'm hoping they're going to show hockey. If not, I'm going to have to figure out how to get onto the CBC website over here because it's usually blocked.
Right.
Don't worry. Whoever's listening and going to send helpful suggestions, I think I have an idea. So, I appreciate it, but I'm good.
Great.
Yeah. So, there's that. And it's from what I understand, it is minus 1 million degrees in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. I'm not going to complain because the rest of the world seems to be a lot colder, or certainly the Western world. Like even in the U.S., I was hearing freezing temperatures in Dallas, Texas. So yeah, I'm not going to complain too much. We've had it pretty good here. But yeah, it's definitely colder than usual. Mm-hmm. Maybe some snow this weekend. So there's your weather update, world.
Have you skated outside, though?
I have not. Well, we did up at the mountain, but I haven't skated locally. But somebody, one of Lisa's friends, had a YouTube video yesterday for people skating yesterday at Gary Point, and I was like, I was mesmerized because I couldn't believe it. And apparently, that's something that does happen occasionally. And I was mad that I wasn't down there at sunset taking pictures of people skating at Gary Point.
Why aren't you down there? Are you gonna go there today?
We will likely not be around this weekend, so...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a long weekend. By the time this airs, we'll already be back, but yeah, we're not gonna be here, so I'm a bit disappointed, because I really wanted to...
You've never done that?
No, and of Gary Point, which I love to photograph. So
I have, like, it doesn't happen often where you get like a long enough cold snap in Vancouver, but the times it does, I believe the firemen go out there and flood that open field.
Okay.
Because essentially it doesn't take much water, and it's not like you're skating on a pond. There's nothing to fall through into. So it's, right. it's 100% safe, and it's huge. So you can get a whole bunch of games. It's not Rideau Canal huge.
Right.
But it's pretty huge, so you can get a number of games up and running at once, a number of games of shinny, and it's a great time out there.
Okay, yeah, no, I was completely unaware of this, so yeah, I'm a little bit sad, because today definitely would be cold enough, and I would haul the kids over there to try to skate, but I don't think it's in the cards.
Oh, I'd squeeze it in, take a later ferry, man. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Nice and warm over here. I was hoping for some freezing temperatures for that reason, because I wanted to go play here. Because unlike if I were to play out there at Gary Point, I would be in the top 10% of bad players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In fact, there's so many good players in Canada that I'm not suggesting I'm not a good hockey player. I'm worldwide. If you take the whole world into account. Mm-hmm. Like people who live in, sub-Saharan Africa and stuff like that.
Oh, and people are over the age of 90.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about the whole 7 billion people in the world. I'm probably top 1%.
Right.
Hockey-wise. But in Canada, I'm probably in the middle somewhere. And that's just people, not even hockey players.
Right.
But over here in Germany, if it freezes over, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be the Mario Lemieux of shinny.
Right.
So okay. I was hoping for it, but we're like plus 10 degrees, so it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And the show has hit a new low.
No, we've been way lower.
Yeah, sure. Amazon. If you're going to buy skates to go play shinny, man, look on Amazon. Buy them through our site.
Right.
What's preventing you?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
I'm doing it right now.
To everybody who has been doing that, once again, thank you very much. We appreciate the effort.
We do.
Facebook. You have Facebook, right?
I do, yeah.
They turned 10 years old this week.
Right.
Ish. Last week, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they did the Facebook slideshow. Did you watch yours?
Yeah, I did.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was quite a neat thing that they did.
I even watched a few other people's.
Me too.
Yeah, but after four or five, you're like, okay, that song's in my head now.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little bit redundant, but still very cool.
Mm-hmm. For mine, they used the Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, though.
So it had to be taken down immediately.
Yeah, they took it down right away. So there's that. Did you shoot anything interesting? Oh, I got one more thing I wanted to mention before we get into the shooting. You know how I know I'm not a jerk?
I was going to say, do you know how you know you're a jerk?
Yeah, but here's how I know I'm not.
Okay, all right.
I was just...
I really need to hear this.
I was just... I know, you're not going to believe me. I was just at a brunch. I just got back from a birthday brunch. Friends of ours turned something years old, I don't know.
This is celebrating an adult's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so, but also people, doesn't matter. Point is, it was just a brunch. It was a good time. And, But the birthday girl, her mother was there, walking around with the birthday girl's camera. She has some sort of like a Nikon D90 or whatever it is. I'm not sure which model, but a Nikon, and had the lens hood on backwards the whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know I'm not a jerk because I didn't say a word. I didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, if it was the girl, you would have said something though.
I don't know. On her birthday.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah.
On her birthday, I think she'd get a pass.
Really? I don't think you would have given her a pass. I just think it was because it was the mom.
Right. Yeah, it could be. But still, I think that's a very non-jerk move.
Yeah, no, you drew the jerk line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A jerk definitely would have gone and said that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Right.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I didn't shoot anything other than my challenge photo. Again, another sort of slow week on the photo front. I'm not sure why. I promise this week will be different. I'm going to take a few more photos, because I said to Lisa yesterday, I said, wow, like I mean, there's 2 or 3 weeks in a row where, other than the challenge photos, I didn't really take any pictures at all, like nothing to speak of, which is very unusual for me. But I think it was over the Christmas holidays, I did a lot of photos for people, portraits, you know, work-related stuff, which really, you know, had me sitting at the computer for quite a long time and editing. And I just felt, I think I felt like I needed a break. So now my break should be over. I think I'm sufficiently braked, so I'm going to get back into shooting photos. So that was my way of saying no, I didn't, other than the challenge photo. So I've had my break, yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great. I've been shooting. I had a bit of a lull myself, besides shooting, you know, pictures of the kid. But I ended up shooting quite a number of keepers in January and February, surprising number.
Okay.
So I was a little surprised, but this week.
But you have a new family though, so.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything interesting.
Still, there's a ton of photos of Jack when he showed up, because it's, again, it's yeah. the dynamics change, right? Like you've yes. got Emily with him a lot, or, you know, the four of you instead of the three. So there's definitely lots of photos to be had. I think that will slow down a little bit until he starts, you know, doing something different.
Right.
Looking different.
Yeah, no, he does. And that's the thing, is you kind of got to, you know, look back, because he's gotten so big so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's big, like crazy big. Okay. Like not like a fat kid, like a fat not like a fat baby or something. Like he's just big all around, like super tall. He's wearing like the hand-me-down clothes that he's got right now at whatever, what is he at? 8 weeks now, I think. I think he's 8 weeks old, 7 weeks. And he's wearing the hand-me-downs of his friends who when they were 7 and 8 months old.
I thought you were going to say when they were 11.
They're 14. Yeah. He's got his pants hanging down around his ankles and like the kids do in these days.
Right.
No. So he's wearing stuff. He's that big. So he must be changing a lot. So I'll take some more pictures. But I did. I got to go see my daughter do gymnastics this week.
Okay.
And that was exciting. Because I haven't.
This is something she just started.
She's been doing it for a couple of months, but I haven't been able to go because it's, you know, during the week, during work hours.
Right.
And so her OPA takes her, and I've been really, like, excited to go see, because I was in gymnastics when I was a kid, and I know she, you know, she really enjoys it around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was been very, very excited to go see her with all the other kids, and so I went and got to shoot that, because I had this week off. So went over there and shot that. It was kind of low light. Low-ish. Mm-hmm. It wasn't super dark, but I took my 70 to 200 because I didn't expect to, you know, I'd be on the gym mat or anything like that.
Right.
I knew I'd be shooting from afar. And so I brought the 70 to 200, which is an F4. And it was kind of a weird mix. Like, it was kind of a bad light, like a mix of cloudy light coming in the skylight with fluorescent. So it's right. kind of all over the place. And the floor is an ugly color, like an ugly blue color. And so it was the colors weren't great, but you know, managed to squeeze out a decent enough shutter speed. I think around 1/125th.
Okay.
So basically, I had to fire some serious burst mode stuff just to get anything. So I knew I'd get 1 out of 10 right. sharp. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Might bring the flash next time.
Yeah. I don't know. You're gonna be blinding the children.
No. It's the only thing is it's a really quick session. Like they get in, they get out. Like, cause there's a whole bunch of sessions back to back to back. And so what I might do is, you know, if possible, it's actually in a gymnasium of where I've shot a wedding previously.
Oh yeah.
Just by coincidence. So I know what the layout is. And so I can actually bring a couple of off camera flashes and fill the place up without being intrusive, I think.
Right.
So I might actually do that.
Wow, that sounds very, sounds like a big project.
Does that sound like bringing off-camera flash to Disneyland?
Yeah, but I'm not filling up Disneyland.
No, you're not. No. I might even go with something, I don't even know if I'm going to go with something moody or something really artsy looking, because my daughter's 2.5, so I don't, you know, think she needs that kind of looking photos, I don't know.
Right.
So maybe I have enough already from the one day with available light.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that you probably do, but you know, you go for it. I'm interested to see what you come up with.
I might maybe I'll take the tripod and shoot some video. That maybe I'll do that.
There instead. I think that's the move right yeah. there. I think the video is more of a, like, if you have the one shot, which I saw you post a shot on Facebook, and
yeah.
And yeah, and I like that photo. I'm not sure that the next 20 you take are going to be, you know, much different or far better, that you're going to say, well, that's the one we're going to keep from Emily's 2.5-year-old gymnastics kind of portion of her life, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll, no, don't worry. I'll keep coming back every week until I get it.
but the video, I definitely think that she will appreciate mm-hmm. in to watch. And I'm sure you guys too, especially looking back.
Yes, and we're excited because we are those parents who she's supposed to be 3 years old to go in this.
Mm-hmm. But you're like, I'm trying to think who is the gymnast who won all the perfect tens and the Olympic medals at the 1976 Olympics. I'm in Olympic mode right now. Nadia Comaneci.
Yeah,
that's right. I answered my own question there.
Great. It's like you're setting yourself up to go, hey everybody, here comes how smart I am. Ready? 1, 2, 3, blam.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. I really couldn't remember, but then it came to me as I was saying it.
Right, right. Yeah. I was going to keep it more current and go with like a Carrie Strug or something mid-90s Atlanta. Right. You know, whatever.
Mary Lou Retton?
Mary Lou Retton, I was going to say her. Yeah, but wasn't she part of the boycott Olympics? So technically, really?
I don't know if it counts.
Who's the girl, the one with the broken ankle? I don't know.
Oh, there's another name I can't remember.
I thought that was Carrie Strug.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. I think that was, yeah.
There we go. Anyways, we put her in when she was 2 and just lied and said she was 3 because she wanted to go in it.
Yeah, and that's how all great stories start.
Yeah. 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 So, anyway, then yesterday the wind whipped up here. The February wind whipped up, so we took the opportunity to go fly a kite.
Yeah, I saw a picture there too.
There you go. What'd you think of that photo?
I liked it. I a little bit thrown by the perspective, like the angle of the photo.
In what way?
I don't know. That became the focus of the photo for me.
Yeah, but explain to me. What do you mean? Because I'm going to post this one.
It's kind of taken at a, I don't know what you call that angle, but the horizon, everything is kind of like tilted.
Correct.
So I just again, looking at it, I want to be focused on the people and the kite, but I keep coming back to the angle.
Okay.
I don't know. Just as a viewer, that's what draws me. I like the photo. It's
pretty fine. I'm curious to know because the camera is level. We're on a big hill.
Oh, okay.
And the hill is sloping down, so that is an accurate rendition of that situation.
Okay.
But if you don't know it's a hill, then it looks odd. So for me, it makes complete obvious sense that, of course, it looks like that. They're on a hill. I didn't make an artistic choice there.
Right. Okay.
But see, I'm interested to know, because you come in at it without that knowledge, then out of context, it looks kind of funny.
Yeah. And there you go. Out of context. And I didn't spend, you know, 20 minutes analyzing it. I looked at it for 3.5 seconds and I just thought, oh, that's a nice, neat silhouette picture. And, yeah, just not sure about, like, is he going artsy on this one or not? So
no.
I thank you for the clarification.
Well, no, but it's good. It's good to know, you know, because perception becomes reality, and so your perception of it now becomes, and you know, hey, it's an artsy choice. Mm-hmm. I did take this in a certain way because I thought, you know, hey, how do you convey kite flying? Because the kite originally was all the way up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
We had extended it, which turns out was a great way to test my carry speed camera strap.
Okay.
Because I had the kite all the way up there and started winding it back in, got it halfway back down, and it slipped out of my hand. And it was very, very windy. Off the kite went. So the string, the winder, whatever you call it, is dragging on the ground. I'm running after it while I'm wearing my camera with the 70 to 200 on it with the carry speed strap.
Right.
And I'm sprinting down this hill covered in goat crap after this thing, and it gets away on me. It's gone. Whew. See ya.
Okay.
So it goes all the way down the hill. But the good news is my camera didn't come flying off.
That's good. Well, yeah. There you go. There's the endorsement.
There's
right
the
there.
Endorsement. Ended up, I found the kite at the bottom of the hill, went all the way back up, and then handed the kite off to my wife and saw this shot looking down. I was way down the hill looking up, and this is the only way I could figure how to get the kite in the shot with my daughter and have be somewhat interesting from this downward right. angle. So,
okay, well,
there you go.
Thanks for putting it all together for us.
Yeah. Sleep well so, tonight.
I have a question for you. When you go camera body to camera body, do you actually move the strap?
I do.
Yeah.
I use it. You know what I love about it is that it is relatively quick to switch over.
Right.
Because I had originally thought I'm gonna. Well, this might be a different topic about the rest of it. I'll skip that part. Get back to your question. Yeah. I both of my five Ds, I have no strap on them.
Okay.
And when I go to shoot, I just quickly wind that strap in.
Right.
And off I go. This week's photo challenge. Connection. I forgot to issue it last week.
Yeah, and I forgot to care.
Yeah, I know. Nobody cared. Least of all us. And
but the next day, because you know, I did recognize it. We recorded that episode and it was just before bed for me. So I went to bed and I woke up, and in the morning when I woke up, you know, I was almost like in a frenzy. I was like, oh no, no photo challenge.
I have to do the photo challenge in 6.5 days.
Yeah. So anyways, it did occur to me that next morning. So mm-hmm. then I shot you an email, and obviously it occurred to you as well.
Yes, it did. It had occurred to me. So I had to re-record that little insert. It was seamless though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's how we do it.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing you didn't even listen, but it was not seamless.
No, I didn't listen at all. So,
but yeah, Amber had suggested that. Now I get the impression that she suggested it based on her photo from last week, because I thought that was their, you know, her deal was taking the wedding dress was the connection to the wedding, the actual people who were in the foreground but out of focus.
Okay.
So I like that, but that's not what I was. Not what I had in mind. As soon as she issued that challenge, I knew exactly what it was that I wanted to shoot.
Okay. And, so now you've built it up so much. Why don't we do yours first?
Let's just take a break and talk about the old TV show Chips.
Okay, we can do that too.
No. Here's my photo. I knew right away that I wanted to do my daughter talking to her grandpa in Canada.
Okay.
There is that connection. That they have, and it's over long distance, and how do we do that? In this case, it's with the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
In case some of you don't know, Adam and I are both, you know, Apple fanboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just that's how it is. I'm not going to apologize. I love my iPad, which will actually come up later in the show, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so here she is having a little chat with Grandpa, and so I had this picture in mind from the moment that she issued it. And once I sat down to start taking it, this is just available light. I knew it'd be black and white. I knew where she would be sitting, so I knew what to expect. Threw the 85mm lens on and just fired away, like at f/1.8, so I can, you know, get a decent looking image. And fired away, and ended up finding that I got a lot of different emotions and facial expressions, and knew I was going to do a series of photos. And that's why it's a series of six.
Okay.
So there you go.
I like it. That's, yeah. I like all the different expressions. That's exactly what I like about it. I think if you took any one of those photos,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, get the photo challenge part of it. All on their own, the photos are just fine. But I just mean in terms of sort of fulfilling the challenge, I think it does a much better job of the theme with the series.
I agree.
So there you go. So yeah, I like all the different emotions. And as far as the, like you say, the lighting and that, I mean, it's perfectly fine. I mean, it's available light. Like you say, I think you're not trying to create a Rembrandt here, right?
No. I mean, I think it's good light. She doesn't normally sit here. I set her here on purpose. Because I knew we'd get nice light off the dining room light, and I knew it would fall off into the background. Like the background is just a mess.
Mm-hmm. That's my only critique.
Well,
but it disappears for the most part because of how shallow the depth of field is. But when I'm looking at it in black and white, on my iPad, Yeah, it's still like it's still there. Like you still do notice it.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, I shot at f/1.8. I got in as close as I can, so it would melt off as quick. And I knew the light would fall off. But I knew it would still be there. But in order for me to go and clean up that background, it just wasn't going to happen.
Oh, the time I had. Nor would I expect it to.
Yeah.
The only thing that like I say, the only reason it's noticeable to me is just that the black sort of in the background is kind of like a wavy form, like, so it does draw your attention, whereas if it was, I don't know, if it was all scattered and filled the entire top of the frame, then I think it would be less noticeable because it is out of focus, but like I say, it's almost like it's like a wave running back up and down, and I think that's what you notice.
I'm deleting these.
Yeah, so just you try again. Yeah, so good effort. Yeah.
All right. And that's funny. Now we had, you know, you and I hadn't discussed what we were going to shoot.
No.
Heck,
no,
we didn't even talk on the show about what the challenge was, let alone discuss later. So,
yeah. So it's funny. It's interesting because when I put mine in the Dropbox, I thought, oh my God, like, you know, not only did I also do black and white, but I did a series of, in my case, 4 pictures and link them together in a collage format that seems very similar to what you did. So, yeah, it was funny that we really have a connection. I think that's what I was getting at. Yeah. That's what my wife says. She's like, you and Al are really have a connection. Yeah. So sorry to make it weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I see the connection here.
So if this is a family connection, these are Lisa's parents.
Oh, and don't spoil it.
Oh, sorry. No, that's the connection.
I had a big joke lined up. You stepped
on
it.
Oh, I stepped on. Sorry. Do you want to go ahead with it anyways?
It's awkward now.
All right.
Yeah. No one will appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, these are Lisa's parents and her sister, which I've used pictures of Lisa's sister on the as photo challenges before. So they were all over for dinner last weekend. So right after you'd issue the challenge, I thought, oh, perfect. I'm going to do something with, because I always get flack about, you know, shooting pictures of my kids and my wife like 99% of the time. So I thought, okay, perfect. I got some other people here. So I thought, here's the connection. It's a family connection. And I set up like a little portrait shoot. I had mentioned that I wanted to incorporate the use of those little chip can lights that I had made last week, the one that appeared in the challenge last week. So I made another one because I thought I wanted two. And in my head, I had this idea of kind of using them at the side. And so that's what I did. And so I set up this little, it was actually a bunch of scrap black paper that I had, and I taped it to the wall behind them, and I sat them on a photo stool, and I tried sort of almost a butterfly light effect mixed with the chip cans, which were put really close to the sides of their heads. I did include a sort of setup shot as well of my wife that will illustrate what the setup looks like, so I don't have to spend too many laps on this. But ultimately, there's side lighting, there's the softbox, the cue box softbox, almost directly head on, maybe just slightly camera right, because I didn't want the and it's above as well. I didn't want the catch lights directly centered in their eyes, so it's just a hair off of center, and it's pretty steep above. And then I've got them holding like a reflector just underneath their like at their chest line in order to fill in the shadows underneath their neck. So you can see the shadows slightly are a little bit different just based on the angle that they held the reflector. And this was shot in the complete dark, even though the setup shot, I turned a light on so everybody could see what I was doing. It was shot complete dark. So it's all flashlight. There's no available light or room light in this photo. So, so there you go. So you see the little butterfly shadow that we talked about on the butterfly lighting episode underneath their noses. But what I really like, and you can give your critique in a second, but I just really like the side light effect. That's what I wanted to illustrate, is what these little chip can lights could do. And this was my first effort with them, but I really like, particularly on the photos of her parents, what, and it's, the difference is Lisa and her sister both have long hair, so their hair eats up a lot of that light. It's, I shouldn't say eats it up, uses it in a different way.
Right.
But the light on the faces of both of her parents, I just love those photos. So
now the chip can lights, are they basically even with the subject, like right next to their ear?
Yeah, they're a slightly above and slightly behind.
Slightly behind.
Yeah, slightly behind.
Okay.
Which is why it doesn't sort of get past their cheeks for the most part.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of the light, like you'll see on the photos of both of her parents, like on the sides of the forehead a bit, and definitely around the cheeks. And then you won't see much of that light. I mean, there's on a couple of them, there's a little bit on the nose too.
Uh-huh.
So you see it. And then the rest of the light, the is like fill light. So I have those chip can lights dialed way down. I think they're 1/64th power or something, but they're pretty close. So they're pretty close to their face.
Okay.
And then I've got, I think the softbox is something like, it's pretty low too. It's, I want to say 1/32nd power on the softbox. And they're all really quite close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ISO down at like ISO 100. So I've got low power, really close, to try to create sort of, again, with those chip cans, those lights are going to be pretty harsh.
Right.
But again, with the homemade diffusion I built, I guess they're softer than, you know, head-on flash, right?
Yeah, no, that those are going to be coming real handy. I mean, you can really experiment with those. If you were to bring them a little forward and even closer to your subject, because the closer they get, the softer they get,
mm-hmm.
You could probably get a shot without the softbox for at all.
Yeah, and I did tinker around a little bit with mm-hmm. it, and then I just decided, hey, this is when I was just LCD chimping. I just really liked when I played around with about three or four different mix. I just really liked what it looked like on the LCD. So I said, yeah, this is it. They weren't giving me a lot of time. I had about a minute and a half with each person. So I just ran them through. This is right before we're going to play a big game of Family Cards. So it was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I want these people. I'm going to have to agree to their terms. And their terms are, do this quickly before we play cards. So they each sat for about 2 minutes. And I really like the pictures, again, I got of her parents. The one of her sister, it doesn't sort of, like, I like the picture on its own, but mixed with the other four, it's not smiley enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really fit the blend of the pictures, but it was the best picture I had of her group. So if it was just her on her own, I kind of like the look as a portrait on its own. But again, just because everything else is a lot more smiley, it just doesn't quite fit.
Right. Right. No.
That's it.
I love it. I love the look on your wife's face in the pullback shot.
Oh, gosh. I know. And that's when it's like, okay, just before I collapse all this setup, I need one more, because this is a little bit... I think the pullback picture is one that's worth looking at, because not only is it funny of my wife's expression, but to think this is what I'm doing Saturday night right before we play cards, it's a mm-hmm. bit of a joke. I am a bit of a nutcase.
Yeah, but there is a certain attitude that is kind of funny nowadays, because we take everything for granted with photography wise. You know, okay, fine, I'm going to give you a minute and a half to take my awesome looking portrait. But back in the day, you know, like when Matthew Brady was snapping photos like 150 years ago, whenever that was, it was, you had to sit still for 10 minutes.
Right.
For one photo.
Right.
You know, and it was a big deal. Like you might have one photograph of you taken of you your whole life. And now it's like, you know what? P-Knuckles calling my name. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Can we snap this up?
Yeah, I know. It is funny, but when you see how much is going on in the little, like, again, the chip can lights and stuff, like, I'm thinking, who does this on Saturday night, right? Like,
winners, that's who.
Yeah, yeah, like, what am I? What have I become? Yeah, so, anyways, it's pretty funny, and it didn't really take that long. Like, honestly, the setup took 10 minutes to get it sorted out. It probably took 10 minutes to take it all back down again,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately, I was really happy with the finished product in terms of the light, and I'll definitely use this setup or very similar to it again. I really like how the light on the hair also looks. Like, I like the light on Lisa's hair in particular. Just it just I don't know, makes it look like a hair commercial. And she was like, I haven't even washed my hair today. She's like, you know, no makeup, nothing. And I'm like, well, don't worry.
And I'll look fantastic.
Yeah, I'll make the light do the heavy lifting here. Yep. So
absolutely. Yeah, add to that, in this case, you know, what would be... Did you ever buy a UV filter for any of your lenses?
No, I don't have a UV filter.
Okay, the only reason to get one, because I suggest don't get one, unless you want to take some pictures like this, and not of your wife, of course, because she doesn't need it, but you can wind a UV filter on there, take a thin layer of Vaseline and smear it all over the UV filter,
mm-hmm.
and add that, and that will really soften things up. Without losing focus, it sort of softens things up and gets a really, really pleasing effect.
But why wouldn't you just, rather than that, if that's the use you're going to have for your UV filter, why wouldn't you just get, like, I know there's all sorts of softening filters.
Yeah, you can do all that, but this one you can kind of change up. You can put some more Vaseline on, less Vaseline. You can mix it around. It's pretty flexible.
And you could put Vaseline on and still see a sharp image?
Yes. Well, I mean, it is. You put a thin layer and you smear it evenly, and it looks like you're shooting the White Diamonds ad for Elizabeth Taylor.
Interesting.
Although she shoots hers through like 6 sheets of white gauze. You can put pantyhose. Does your wife ever wear the pantyhose? Which is a really odd question.
What exactly is pantyhose?
You know what pantyhose are, don't you?
Well, like, stockings. It's just stockings, right?
Yeah. Aren't they called pantyhose? Pantyhose.
I'm sure she has them for like fancy dresses and stuff.
Okay, experiment with that. Take a pair of those, and you can stretch them over top of your lens, and you get a great softening effect as well. And if you get the different colored ones, you get the black ones, the white ones, it adds that kind of haze to it as well. Looks great.
Okay.
It looks great.
Right.
The results are surprising. You think so? You're not going to see anything, but you get a pretty good image.
I'm going to get the pantyhose out right after the show.
There you are. So,
yeah.
The overall, great. Look forward to seeing more with the chip cans.
Okay.
This week's topic, the cloud.
Oh.
Or not. Do you have something better?
No. That was my groan of approval.
Here's my enthusiasm.
Yeah.
What is the cloud? Not shooting clouds. I'm talking about like the cloud. What do you do? Like, this isn't a photo tip. It will be a photo tip, but
it's a backup universe.
Something like that.
It's a universe where stuff goes to be backed up.
Backed up or just live.
Or live, sure.
It doesn't. That's the thing, is it doesn't need to be a backup. It doesn't. Yeah, I assume, I don't know what the cloud is really. I assume it's just like buying
cyberspace. It's cyberspace.
Well, I think it's just buying an external hard drive and keeping it somewhere where you can always access it via the web. And that's essentially what you're doing. You're renting space on someone's external hard drive.
Okay.
If I understand correctly. Now, there's a whole lot of incarnations of this, of what you can do. Like, there's automated backup and photo storage and all this stuff. But basically, it gets down to, I mean, you take a lot of photos.
Mm-hmm.
How do you share them? What do you do when you have a lot of them? What do you print albums and hand them out? Email them?
I largely email them. Like, I use Dropbox with everybody I know. So
okay.
Usually I just I Dropbox the photos to them because the file sizes are too big to send a large number of them in an email, especially if people want full resolution. And it seems like everybody wants full resolution.
Right.
I'm not sure why, if they plan on printing them or they just want to have them just in case. But
right.
Most people request the full resolution. So, I Dropbox.
But there you go. That's the cloud. Dropbox is technically part of the cloud.
Okay.
And that's the thing. And that's where I got to, too. And I mean, you and I, we've been using Dropbox for a long time. Now, none of the products I'm about to mention are sponsors. We just happen to use them. So
right.
this is kind of our own review of it. And if they want to sponsor, that'd be rad, but I don't expect it. So we started using Dropbox a long time ago for essentially just to transfer files back and forth for the show. Because we transfer large audio files back and forth to each other, in how we, without going into detail how we produce the show, that's what we end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dropbox is the easiest way to do that, and free.
Right.
And so, but once I was using it for that, I started also creating photo galleries to share with people. So, like, for instance, we go to the playground, you know, with some friends, take our kids there, maybe I shoot half dozen or, let's be honest, 2-3 dozen photos. mm-hmm. of everyone and their kids having fun, rather than email them out to everybody, I will shrink them down to usually 2,000 pixels on the big side, and I'll just create a quick, simple photo gallery in Dropbox, which you can just basically publish that link, send the link to people, and they can just view them really quickly right there without having to mess around. It's really, all you do is save it to a folder on your hard drive that is becomes that photo gallery.
Right.
And it's pretty bare bones. You're not going to get any fancy graphics or nothing like that, but people can see all the pictures that they want to see.
Right.
And it's great. People love it. And those are temporary. And so after, you know, about a month, I usually just delete those. Now, I have the photos elsewhere in full resolution, but those ones just come and go, and I can control it. I don't have to post them on Facebook. I don't have to post, because I don't like to post everything on Facebook.
Right.
So I like to post a lot of these here just for people to share and move on. So that was great. Dropbox working great. And then I bought an iPad. Now, I never thought I would buy. When they announced the iPad, I thought, yeah, it's cool, but I can't see it being for me.
Right.
The whole tablet. Like, well, I'll just say tablet, because I'm sure the other ones, the Samsungs, are, you know, very similar. But I couldn't imagine it, and so I didn't bother. And then version 2 came out and whatever, and I still didn't bother. And then version 3 came out, and I took notice. All of a sudden, I thought, you know, my wife might like one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought her the version 2, actually, but had that for a year, and I kind of started to like it. So iPad Air came out, and I bought one, jumped on it, and I love it. In fact, I thought, from what I thought was going to be just a superfluous toy, went to, I don't know how I ever had, you know, went without it.
Right.
It's like, it really is awesome.
Now, is this your love story with the iPad? Is that, I feel like we should be hearing some music of you running through meadows or something.
Yeah, yeah. My entire Facebook slideshow was me and my iPad. Yeah. That's the thing is now I have this thing, and this like I really wanted to reinforce that this should be cross-platform. So if you have a Samsung or anything else, any of the other tablets, this should apply. Okay. As well.
Yeah.
And so now I thought, okay, you know, I get the iPad. I only bought the 16 gigabyte, the entry model.
Mm-hmm.
And only Wi-Fi. I don't have the what do you call it on there, the cellular.
Right.
I don't want it, don't need it. The end. So I started saving out my photos. Now, the thing with the iPad is the resolution is pretty good. Same as the one you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's 2048 by 1536 is their Retina display.
Okay.
And that's a pretty decent size photo. I mean, that's essentially only a 3-megapixel photo, but that's still pretty big when you're talking about viewing them.
Especially, it's, you know, the monitor's not that big.
Right. Right, they look great. So, but the rub is, if you start saving them out as, you know, 640 by 480 or whatever it is, or whatever the, you know, equivalent is, they kind of blow up on the iPad. They don't look so good. So I quickly realized, well, I'm going to have to start saving out my photos that I want to keep out of aperture as 2048 by 1536.
Okay.
So that's what I did. So I created a JPEG export preset. And said, make the largest side 2048. Either way, it doesn't matter which way. Make the largest one 2048. And set it to a JPEG quality of 7, which is, you know, big enough to have a good quality and small enough to get a good file size.
Mm-hmm.
And I also export it, and I changed the name of the file to export as the date and time that it was taken.
Okay.
So that no matter what camera I use of my 3 cameras, or I get any pictures from anybody else, because I set all my cameras properly to be synced up, all my photos are in chronological order once they're exported.
Okay. So you could care less which camera took them, just that they're in that chronological order.
For this, yes. In aperture, all the originals.
Yeah, they're marked, yeah.
Yeah, they're marked with their normal names, but these ones, when I save them out for viewing, I want them in chronological order.
Right.
Okay? So I started saving them those to the iPad, but it takes up a lot of space really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the cloud comes in.
Oh, this is the tie-in.
This is the connection. So what I started doing was I started creating folders in my Dropbox account.
Okay.
And just exporting them there, saving them there, and great. Now I can view them on the iPad. You can just go in there because the iPad has a Dropbox app that you can just go in and access your account, and you can just scroll through your pictures as if you have them right on there.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're online.
If you've opened up the folder when you were online, when you go somewhere and they're offline, then they're there. I figured that out too.
Ish. Some of them are. They can go. Ish, yeah. You can save them. You can easily save. If you hit star on them, you can star them. That saves them to your iPad.
Right, which is what I was trying to avoid as well.
Right. Yeah, but that's fine. But it doesn't install it. It just basically saves it in your Dropbox for later viewing.
Oh, okay.
Which you can do temporarily or quickly unstar and get rid of it. So that is handy. That's without saving it to your actual iPhoto photo library, whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
This keeps it in there. So that's great. Now wherever you go, and I don't really need access to them offline very often. And if I do, it's usually a time where I know ahead of time, so I'll go ahead and save anything I need. But generally, I'm online. If it's at someone's house or a coffee shop, or you understand where Wi-Fi exists now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So great. This is one. That's what I end up using. So I started saving out all my pictures. So let's say I shoot an average of 400 every month that I keep. I start saving those out. To different folders by the month, so I can go and easily find any picture I want to find.
Right.
Now, this Dropbox isn't the only company out there doing this. There's plenty of them. Apple has whatever they call it, iCloud, I think.
Yeah.
Which, P.S., I don't use. What's Google's? Google's is Google Drive?
I have no idea. I just know the iCloud one is one that I use the free space worth of it, and I've already exceeded it because on my iPod I get a little pop-up saying you've used all your storage space is full, so stop bothering us or pay us money. Yeah,
which is great. Now that's the thing. I'm pretty sure that kim.com guy is still running one from New Zealand or something like that, the mega upload guy who was in all that trouble.
Yes,
I think I saw him on 60 Minutes a while ago, so I think he's got a new one going on, but whatever. These are the ones that I use. So I was using Dropbox.
Yeah.
Now with the free account, you sign up for a free account, you get 2 gigabytes of free space.
Okay.
I think, or maybe 3 now. I don't really know.
I don't know either. I sounds like that's even a little bit high, but maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
It was two.
Yeah.
But if the deal was if you referred a number of people, you would get free space. And so I'm up around, I maxed out or something like that.
I've got about 16 gigs, I want to say.
Yeah. Only problem is good luck referring people now. Most people have it.
Right.
So it's just difficult to do. So I was using that, but I use Dropbox for all kinds of things. I use it for moving large files, delivering files to clients. And so I need the space. I can't just fill it up with all of my photos I've ever taken, which is kind of my goal to get them all online.
Mm-hmm.
And not the originals, but in the 3 megapixel version, just so I can access them.
Right.
And then a company who's been around for a while, I'd never heard of, just called Box.com. They offered, or still offer, I don't know, a 50 gigabyte free deal if you sign up with your new iOS or whatever it is, your mobile operating system.
Right.
So that would be 50 gig would be plenty of room. Now, you can also, if you're a Dropbox, you can always pay and expand it to like 100 gigabytes or something like that.
I have to say, I think Canon does something as well. They have a free online. I don't know if you've had to purchase a Canon camera or lens or exactly how it works, but I remember Dwayne Gervin mm-hmm. telling me that that there is a certain amount of storage space, whether it was 4 gigs or 8 gigs, that's offered by Canon. I'm guessing if Canon did it, that Nikon might have done the same thing, but that you essentially go on the website and register for it. I don't know what it's called, but I just remember him telling me specifically that that Canon was doing it. So that was about a year ago. I assume they're probably still doing it. But mm-hmm. if anyone wants to or knows the answer and they wanna let us know exactly what it's called and how to access it, that would be great, because I'm probably not going to do the research.
You think we would have done it before the show, but
I didn't know the topic, so I right. probably would have if I knew the topic running in, but wow, I just, that rings a bell, yeah.
I'm not saying that you didn't know the topic, but really, would you?
Maybe. It's a 50-50, really.
whenever people ask me something I don't know, I just basically say, yeah, you're Google. It's as good as mine.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, I completely forgotten about the Canon one. But yeah, so there's a whole lot of different ones out there, you know. But if you want to get the free one, whatever, Adam and I happen to use Dropbox probably the most. That's probably the one I use the most.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do was start moving all of my photos from Dropbox to this box.com.
Okay.
And just use it, and then I can use it for my work stuff, for my Dropbox, and I can use all my photos on this box one. Well, it got to be kind of a pain because unless you have the brand new operating system, it is browser based, meaning you have to do an upload, and if it gets, you know, if it stalls in between, you kind of, you know, have to start again. And which ones did you already do? It's kind of a pain. So I thought, wow, I don't really want to do that. Like upload 400 pictures for every month for the last 5-6 years or whatever I'm going to do. So my Google worked, and I found out there's actually an app you can sign up and again use for free up to a certain point that will transfer all of your files or your selected files from one cloud service to another.
Hmm.
So this one, I think, is a Canadian company as well called Mover.io. And I think they're out of Edmonton. So I tried them, and I signed up for their free account. You can move 10 gigabytes, and then you start paying. And started moving all my pictures that are on the Dropbox and moving them into corresponding files in box.com, and it works like a charm.
Beautiful.
So they're all there, and box.com also has an app for the iPad or whatever tablet you're using, and you can just go through your pictures right there. Boom, boom, boom. They're all ready to go.
Nice.
So that's it. So pretty soon I'll have all my photos up in high res.
Can't wait.
And then I'll, of course, buy the 4K iPad, and I'll have to redo every photo in higher res.
Right.
But I'm not really forward-thinking like that.
Yeah, the next iPad you buy will have 4 terabytes of hard drive space on it.
Well, that's the thing, is when I went to buy mine, I mean, you can buy one with 64 or 128 or whatever the highest one is, but I didn't even bother because I knew that the way I use it would be so much based on using this cloud stuff. Which, that sounds like a real scientific term, the cloud stuff.
Yeah.
But I knew I'd be using the cloud an awful lot, so I didn't bother. For me, the space wasn't, you know, a requirement.
Well, and I think that's why they've kept the hard drive sizes, you know, the way they have, just mm-hmm. because I think that's the same reason why CD or DVD drives have disappeared from computers. They're just like, okay, well, there's a different direction that this is going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the other good thing is that means anywhere I travel, I have access to my whole thing. I mean, I guess if you did that, you know, on your iPad, you would have it as well. But anywhere I go, or if I want to look at it from a different computer or show somebody, I can log on. And the other move that I did is I basically signed up my account on my wife's iPad as well. And so she can sign in, and she has access to all the photos as well. And so she can show people, and she's not going to bother uploading her own. She's not going to go and mess with it. She's just going to use it as a reader, essentially.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's ways to share and all that stuff, but I haven't looked into that. And I know that it's really easy for my wife to just push that button, and boom, there's all the pictures right there, and she can show everybody who wants to see them.
Yeah, what I've done for my wife, because she uses it on her phone quite a bit, Dropbox, on her iPhone,
mm-hmm.
Is I've created a separate folder specifically to her of just the photos that I think she would like to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I basically use that folder, because she doesn't want to sort through a zillion of everything that I've got, but she wants, you know, specifically, oh, you know, you had pictures of Jack and Sarah at a party or whatever. And so I'll just basically, I've created her folder just for ones that I think she would share.
Mm-hmm.
So, and same deal. She just, she pulls those out like, you know, like we used to pull photos out of our wallet. Now we're pulling them out of Dropbox on our phone.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's the other great thing about it is if you have an iPod or an iPhone, or again, this is really an ad for Apple, but if you have your, whatever your, what do you call, what is Android?
Yeah.
If you have your Android tablet and a phone and all that stuff, well, these are immediately synced over all those different devices. You don't have to upload them to each one, right?
Right. Dropbox is everywhere.
Or Box or Google, whatever the one you end up using. It is everywhere, and that's what's kind of the nice thing. Now, of course, I'm sure the NSA is going through and you know, printing all your photos and putting them up in their house. I don't know.
Right. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to cry about it. For me, there's bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are, but I'm sure there are. So I'm not too worried about that. Now, you can do a lot of this via Flickr. I mean, you get a free Flickr account and get 1 terabyte of upload space or whatever it is. But to me, Flickr is more designed for sharing with other people. Like, I know you can put locks on it and prevent people from all that, but I think the idea behind Flickr is, you know, an online community.
Right.
And these are just albums that I want to share with just my friends, like, in person kind of thing. So that's what I use this for.
Okay.
That's about it. Any other questions about the cloud?
I have no questions about the cloud, but I would like to, this just came to me now because I was thinking about this yesterday, so I want to mention it because you know how I'll forget in about 13 seconds from now?
Mm-hmm.
The Color Monkey display software hardware package that I bought a while back?
Yeah.
Wildly thrilled with it.
Yes.
Okay, but I have something to tell people about why they should all buy one and buy, if you're going to buy it on Amazon, there's a good idea.
Mm.
I went back because I just decided, okay, I'm going to clear out a lot of the photos, the redundancies out of my Aperture folder. So I was going through yesterday and I was just kind of purging, right? I was getting rid of a lot of the stuff I wasn't going to really keep. Sometimes I do this month by month, but I'd gotten behind a few months. And I realized, looking at, you know, photos from about 5-6 months ago, there was a number that I got printed that I wasn't happy with the prints. Well, all on me, because when I'm looking at those photos now that the monitor's been calibrated, mm-hmm. looking at a bunch of those photos pre-calibration, they were too dark on my part. So again, just how much of a difference it makes if you do decide to print photos, and especially if you're doing photos for other people who are paying you, hugely, hugely important. Because I mean, I'd say for the most part, I've been happy with prints and the way they've turned out. About 25% of the time, I'm kind of like, oh, they missed that one. Well, I'd say really their misses are probably about 5-10%, and the other 15 was on me. And I was using the histogram most of the time, but as you know, it depends on, you know, where what you've decided. Are you what is the metering system that you've set up? Is it a spot meter? Is it an evaluative meter? And so the histogram, you know, doesn't always tell you exactly what you want to know, right? Especially at a glance when you're right. When you're out somewhere shooting. So anyways, bottom line is it's made a huge difference for me going back, and a lot of those I have all the raw files for the most part. So, you know, in a couple of cases where I had prints that I wasn't happy with, I just re-edited them and I intend on printing them again the way I wanted them to be. So
it's a great tool to have. It is a game changer.
Yeah. And one that I kind of, you know, sort of brushed off for a long time. I know you kept saying it, and I just kind of felt like for amateur photographers, like how many people really go out and buy this stuff? And
mm-hmm.
The answer is maybe, I don't know, a half. I've talked to other photographers and it seems like most don't have it, but I think when you get to a certain point where you're spending all this time editing, it seems like definitely a necessary expense. When you're talking about, I think this cost me, I don't know, $150 or something like that. I think when you're talking about that kind of cost, $150, when we're so willing to drop, I don't know, $400 or $500 on a lens, or, you know, $800, $1,000, whatever it might be on a camera, it seems like a small drop in the bucket.
I agree.
Yeah. So there's my pitch on everybody should buy this. Everyone should buy everything I buy, because I do the research, and then you can just reap the rewards.
Right. You can just do that sort of everyone kind of shadow Adam.
Right. I'm not saying shadow me, but I'm saying I think most of the listeners are probably in my boat in terms of, you know, shot for a few years, more and more serious about it. And if that's something that they haven't acquired, definitely $150 well spent.
Absolutely. So, I concur.
There you go. Yeah.
photo challenge for next week.
All right.
I really liked what we did this week, and I want to talk more about, I want to shoot some more black and white. So it's just black and white next week.
Sounds good.
Do it. And again, right. Go buy your stuff on Amazon. And where can people find your photos?
Hopefully there'll be some on Facebook soon again. Like I say, I've had a little bit of a down spell, but I intend on posting some on Facebook. My wife is kind of, the well is one run dry at SchwartzChronicles.com the last few weeks. So hopefully there'll be some stuff that shows up there. But check out those two places. And if you're lucky, something will show up eventually.
Great.
How about, is that the pitch that you're looking
for? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly. How about your stuff?
Oh, my stuff's at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com. Or I go on the Facebook as well. I'll throw some stuff up there. Or Google Plus and all that stuff. But you can find all those links to the Google Plus, the Flickr, the what have you, all the, everything else. All comes together at twohosers.com. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.